Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
This morning, I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 15. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all, which causes thanksgiving through us all, through us to God, for the administration of His service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift.
All month we've been focusing on prayer and ways in which we can deepen our prayer life. And one of the passages we've used is found at the end of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. So if you would, let's say this together. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We have already been led in prayer this morning in such a wonderful way that has reminded us of truly what we have to be grateful for. And you've probably spent a lot of time this week, even before this worship service, thinking about thankfulness. This is a wonderful time of year to focus on gratitude. And I think one of the reasons that it's important is because we're often not very good at it. We're not always good at giving credit where credit is due. Even though from an early point in our lives we're taught that when someone gives you something, you say thank you, it's hard to cultivate that sense of gratitude in our lives. In fact, sometimes we can be so focused on what's right in front of us, we're oblivious to anything else that's around us. You probably have a lot of Thanksgiving traditions. One of ours, which may be one of yours, is watching the Thanksgiving Day parade before we eat, and also before we watch the Detroit Lions play. The parade usually has a happier ending than the Detroit Lions game on Thanksgiving Day, but we used to drive up to Michigan to see family. We'd watch the parade. It would be on TV beforehand. And so we've just continued to do that, and that's just something we as a family will do while we're getting ready. And as we watched it on Thursday, we were sitting there and just imagining what it would be like. If you've ever watched the parade, you know that it goes down those crowded New York streets that have office buildings and apartment buildings, and it seems like there are likely some hotels along that path, and you can see people looking out these windows. And I've always wondered what it would be like to be able to watch a parade like that just out a window. I know it would have to be pretty expensive if you're trying to rent something out, but just imagine what it would be like just to be able to sit there where it's nice and warm, you know, and watch everything kind of go by. And so we were talking about that. Several of us were, and just kind of imagining what that experience would be like. And as I watched one of the floats go by, there was a corner window. I don't know if it was an apartment building. It looked like it would have been an apartment, but it was a corner window that had a perfect view of the parade. And you could see people looking out their window. A lot of the windows would show a crowd of people around. You can imagine there was kind of a group together. They're eating and watching this. And yet that one window, as it passed by, perfect view of the parade, you could see the silhouette of what looked like a child's head watching TV that was on the other end of the wall. And that TV was illuminating that, and I even hit rewind just to make sure I saw that. Now, again, you couldn't tell much about the situation. Maybe it was just a momentary distraction. Maybe the child's too young to know what's going on. Maybe this is old news, happens every year, and the child's used to it. I don't know what the reason was, but I thought that picture was something that was very insightful. Because here you have a parade that millions of people are watching, that thousands of people are there to see, that people would love to have kind of that front row seat. And you had a visual of someone, the parade's going on right in front of their window, and they're distracted by something else. And at first when I saw that, I was struck. I thought, I can't believe this. I mean, here we are talking about how great it would be to be there, and here's someone who's distracted by something else. But before we're too harsh, and before we come down too hard on someone who would watch TV rather than the parade going on outside their window, I wonder how many things in my life that I could identify as a string of blessings, a parade of blessings that are going through my life, and I'm distracted by something. And there could be people, if I was on a screen somewhere, if I was on TV, and there were people from other places, from other countries, from other life situations, that saw everything I had in my life that was good, that saw all of the blessings that have been strung together in my life, and then watched me be distracted by something else, I wonder how many of them would say, I can't believe it. I would love to be in his place. I would love to be sitting where he is in that situation with all of these blessings, and yet there's a distraction that's taken his attention away. I don't think I'm the only one in this room who has fallen prey to that distraction, that has lost sight of the parade of blessings God has put in my life. And so what I want us to do this morning is just to challenge all of us to turn around, to look at the parade, to watch the blessings that God has given us. And as we look through God's Word this morning, we're going to look at a parade of scriptures. We're going to see in various places how we're reminded of what God has blessed us with. And I hope that as we leave here, renewed in our attempts and our efforts to pray and to grow deeper in prayer, I hope that we leave here also growing deeper in our gratitude. Because there is a parade of scriptures that we could look at that reminds us of all the blessings God has given us, and God has even told us how to give thanks. It actually extends beyond just learning how to say thank you at a young age. There are some attitudes scripture reminds us to have. The first of those we find in the passage that Caleb just read for us. In the middle of 2 Corinthians 9, Paul has been talking about the giving nature of God's people. They're giving, they're taking up a collection for Christians in need. And notice the way in 2 Corinthians 9, as Paul describes what their ministry did, it said in verse 12, he said that this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, of the Christians, but it is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. In verse 13, because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience. In other words, this giving is incredibly wonderful. But not only is it wonderful that there's overflowing generosity, there's overflowing thanksgiving to God. And when people see this, they're going to give credit and glory to God. And you even get the sense, as Paul is writing this, that he's just overwhelmed with all the incredible things God is doing. Because look at verse 15. It's almost like he stops in the middle and just says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. When is the last time that you and I were so overwhelmed by the blessings God has given us? We had to just stop and just say, thanks be to God for this gift. Now, maybe we wouldn't use exactly that phrase. Maybe it would sound more like 21st century vernacular, but we'd say, I can't believe this. I can't believe God has blessed me with this. If it's been a while since I've done that, maybe I need to stop and rethink my perspective. See, all through Scripture, we're reminded of important principles for giving thanks. One that shows up several times, especially early on, is to give thanks humbly. There's a humility in coming to God and thanking Him for what we have. In fact, you can even see this implied in respectful statements about God all through the text. So even in the Old Testament, if we're reading through about Israel and the respect for which they had for their father, the father of their nation who was guiding them, and the respect for which they had for God's name seems to indicate the humility that's necessary for being thankful for what God has given him. And we also see that in places like Acts 4:24, when we see this reflected in the lives of early Christians. Notice what we read there. When they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, "O sovereign Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them." If I truly want to understand what giving thanks is all about, I'm going to have to humble myself and be reminded of who God is and what He has done. Your translation may say Lord, yours may say sovereign Lord. This idea that God is ruler over all. The early Christians knew that. They reminded themselves God is ruler over everything. That's why so many Thanksgiving Psalms start out with just a litany of things that God is more powerful than. And all the things that He's created. And all that He's ruler over. Because that sets the context and reminds us of our own humility. So I give thanks humbly. I also give thanks realizing that God has blessed me with so many things that there is no way, I would venture to say, there's no way every single one of us, that out of all of us here, that any one individual has thanked God for every blessing he or she has ever received. I think we've just received too many. Look at what Luke chapter 6 says as we get insight into God in verse 35. Love your enemies, Jesus says. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. I just want us to focus on this last phrase here, that God Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. That means there is some kindness that comes from God that's not conditional on my gratitude. That's not even conditional on me asking for it. All of us living today experience kindness and blessings from God that we didn't ask for. Even those who aren't Christians and don't serve God experience the blessings of this earth and blessings of life that were created by God and that they didn't ask for. All of us, to some level, experience that. Now, obviously, when we become children of God, there are eternal blessings and there's an eternal realm that we're looking forward to with those blessings. But all of us experience that. Sometimes we make lists around this time of year, lists of things we're thankful for. And I think that's a good practice. What if you were to make a list of things in your life that you have never thanked God for, but maybe you should? Some things in your life that are blessings. And you think, you know, I don't know if I've ever stopped and prayed a prayer of thanksgiving for this specific thing. Maybe we've prayed prayers of thanksgiving for the big stuff, the things that might be a little more obvious. But what about all the little things, all the little ways in which our life has been enriched and been blessed by God? What if all we had were the things that we've thanked God for? If I woke up tomorrow morning and the only things that existed in my life were the blessings for which I had thanked God, would my life look a little bit different? Would I be missing a lot of things just because I'd never stopped to thank God for them? And it's natural to have this reaction in a sense. We see this. We see this even in the lives of children. Think about growing up. Did you think a lot about what your parents were doing for you? Did you think a lot about what your teachers at school were doing for you? The adults in your life, usually if we're walking along with our parents, we just kind of assume they're going to take care of everything. Sometimes we might even feel obligated that as we go through life, they're obligated to us. I should have this taken care of. Why not? That's their job to take care of everything. But as we mature, we start to realize, wow, my parents made some sacrifices. My family members made sacrifices. There were some teachers at school that invested time in me when they didn't have to. There were men and women at church who invested time in me when they didn't have to. And one of the things that happens as we mature is that we become more grateful. Our gratitude increases. Have you ever had a conversation with a parent or with a teacher where you said something like, you know, I never realized what you did for me until I was in your place? Well, that maturity is natural for us as human beings. And it should also be natural for us as Christians that the longer I'm a Christian, the more I appreciate the things that I just took for granted, or maybe even felt like God was obligated to give me because I was a Christian and I've served God and He's obligated to give me these things. The more I mature, hopefully, the more humility plays a role in my giving thanks and I realize what God has done for me. So here's a challenge for us when we give thanks, to give thanks humbly. To do that in a humble way, but we also see in Scripture more than once, even in the passage we just read together out loud, we're called to give thanks continually. Now there are several places we could look in Scripture that remind us of that continual nature of thanksgiving, that it should be a constant attitude in life. So when Paul would write to the church at Colossae in Colossians 3 and verse 15, encouraging them to let the peace of Christ rule in their hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Or just a chapter later, when he would tell the Christians there to devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Be devoted to prayer, but keep that gratitude as a core part of what you're doing. Or even in the passage that we just read, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks continually. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. Always be giving thanks. Now that's challenging on a couple of different levels. First of all, that's challenging because when we have the holiday time together and we have family gatherings, sometimes we can be reminded of tragedies, of loss, of difficulties. In fact, sometimes holidays can be some of the most difficult times for us, even when we're surrounded by family because we're hurting and we're thinking about those kinds of issues. It can be really hard to try to see through that time, not in a way that erases pain, but to try to see through it and see, what do I have I can still be thankful for? What gratitude can I hold on to? It's a real challenge. And I hope that we'll be cognizant of the fact that over the next few weeks, there are members of our church family that will be dealing with that. That we can be the arms and feet of Jesus, that we can show comfort to those who are hurting. And so it's hard to give thanks in difficult circumstances. But it can also be hard to give thanks in really, really good circumstances. We see this illustrated by something that happened during Jesus' ministry, when he healed a group of individuals. We read about it in Luke 17. And I just want us to read through these verses and be reminded of what it means to constantly be grateful. In verse 11, when Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was there no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And in verse 19, Jesus says, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, this isn't a very long story to read. And the purpose of it being included in the Gospels and being included for us seems very clear, that we need to be grateful for what God has done. But let's take just a moment and put ourselves in the place of these 10 individuals suffering from leprosy. Of course, they're standing at a distance when Jesus comes in because they couldn't go very close to other people. I don't know how long they'd had leprosy. From what we know in Scripture, when you had leprosy, you were an outcast. You were cut off from the community. And Luke's Gospel gives us so many insights into Jesus reaching out to people who were cut off from society. So he tells them to go to the priest, and on the way there, as they are going, they're healed. Can you imagine what would go through your mind if you'd been cut off from your family, if you'd been cut off from society, from any kind of connection with work or with your livelihood, and all of a sudden you realize now you can enter back into the life that you had been longing for? How many nights do you think someone with leprosy would go to sleep dreaming about what it would be like if somehow miraculously the next morning he was healed? If somehow miraculously he could go rejoin his family? Do you think that weighed on their minds? Can we understand how if you saw that you were healed, all of a sudden you would be so excited that your mind would just start reeling with all of the people that you would want to go share this with, all of the family members you'd want to go see and hug and reach out and touch, and you were back, and you wouldn't want to miss a minute of this restored life that you could have? Can you understand how it would be very easy to be so caught up in what's been done that you'd forget to stop and say, wait a minute, there's a source behind this? In this case, it wasn't like they were missing the parade. They knew what the blessing was. They were out on the street watching the parade. They were part of it. But they neglected to think about who had orchestrated the entire event. There was one who came back, and Luke points out that this one is a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans, obviously, as we've talked about recently, did not get along well. There was a history behind that, and it would have been embarrassing for those who were supposed to be God's chosen people to be put to shame in their faith by someone who wasn't even one of them. But just like the parable of the Good Samaritan, we see the Samaritan here be the one who comes back to Jesus to show gratitude. It can be hard to give thanks in really good circumstances, because when we're in the parade of blessings, when we're enjoying what's going on, sometimes we forget the one who actually created that in the first place and actually allows us to experience it. So giving thanks in all circumstances is challenging on both ends. It's challenging when things aren't going well, but it can be challenging when things are going well. If you've had a great week this week, and I know that our family had a great week this week, sometimes it's easy to get caught up in all the blessings we have and forget the one who gave them. So we give thanks continually. And then something else that seems to show up in Scripture a lot is giving thanks specifically. We see this in the Old Testament. We see this in the way Israel dealt with sins. When you were making a sacrifice for sins, there wasn't necessarily just one sacrifice you would make that covered every kind of sin, but there were different kinds of sacrifices that dealt with different kinds of issues. There was something about being forgiven of specific sins. And when it comes to giving thanksgiving to God, I'm struck with how specific, for example, Paul is in the New Testament. When he prays for things, and he's often in his letters writing about what he's praying about, he says specific things. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul tells the Romans he's thankful for their faith, because their faith is going and proclaimed throughout the world. He's grateful for that. When he writes to the church at Colossae, he says he's thankful for the hope that they possess. Not just the fact that they're Christians, but that there's a hope, there's an enduring hope that can get them through difficult times. When he writes to the church at Ephesus, he's thankful for the love that they have for Christians, the love that they have for each other. There are specific things that Paul names, not just saying, hey, I'm thankful for everything that's going on here. He is specific. Not only that, but he's thankful for specific people. When he writes to Timothy, he says, I'm thankful for you, for the faith that dwelt in you, because it first dwelt in your mother and your grandmother before that. When he writes to the church at Philippi, he says, I'm thankful for you and the ways that you've encouraged me. Paul is thankful for other people. There's something about being specific in gratitude that's helpful. Which would you find more compelling and more satisfying? If someone gave you a thank you note that just said, hey, thanks for everything, or if someone gave you a note that pinpointed one thing that you did for them, one action you took, one specific thing. We're much more gratified. We feel better when someone points out, you know what you've done specifically that helped me. Here's specifically why I'm grateful for you. When I pray to God in my prayers of thanksgiving, do I just kind of say a general thank you for everything? Or have I taken the time to get specific? Because if I pray specific prayers of thanksgiving, that does a couple of things. Number one, it recognizes that God is the giver of those gifts. And number two, it forces me to start getting specific about all the ways I've been blessed. I've got to start making those calculations. I've got to start thinking to myself, boy, I'm specifically thankful for this, and I hadn't thought about this, but I'm grateful for that, and I hadn't considered this. And all of a sudden, I'm reminding myself of things that are important. So what would it be for you, praying specifically this morning? What are there things in your life that you haven't prayed and thanked God for specifically? Are there people in your life that you haven't prayed and thanked God for specifically? As we focused on prayer this month, it seems to me natural that we would spend some time in prayer together. And what I'd like for us to do is to think about these three different attitudes for giving thanks. Giving thanks humbly, giving thanks continually, and giving thanks specifically. And so just take a moment. You don't have to write any of this down. You can if you'd like to. You don't have to. But think about three different things. One, blessing you have from God that's reminded you of how great God is, how humble we should be. Think of one thing that you want to give thanks for, even in good times and bad, that you're grateful for. A blessing from God that has seen you through the tough times and has kept you grounded during the good times. And then think about something specific. Maybe something you have never even thought to thank God for specifically. So get three of those things in your mind. And we're going to take just a few moments of silent time where we can pray silently those things. After a few moments of silent prayer, I'll close out our prayer time and prayer together. But I want to really challenge us to think about these attitudes and those three things as we pray and to cultivate that gratitude in our lives. So let's take a few moments to bow in prayer together. Our Father in heaven, we are humbled that we can be called your children. We're thankful for the fact that you have allowed us to serve you, to be your people in this place, that you've given us the blessings and the responsibility of sharing your word with this community. We know none of the things that have happened in the life of this congregation would be possible without you working through your people. And we're grateful for that. Father, I pray that we could always be mindful of your love, that at times when it's hard to feel it, maybe it's difficult for us emotionally, or in times when it's easy to forget it, that we'd be grateful for the love you continually show us, and that we could continually show gratitude in return. Father, I pray specifically that as we look back at this year, the individuals who have become your children, who have put Christ on in baptism, the people that have become members of this congregation, the children that have been born, those times that we've been excited to celebrate together. And we also are grateful, Father, for those whom we have lost on earth this year as part of this congregation. We're thankful for the lives that they've lived, the legacy that they've left for us. And as difficult as it is for us to deal with these times of grief and loss, simultaneously, Father, we're grateful for the blessing of knowing them and of being close to them. And Father, anytime we consider brothers and sisters in Christ, we're thankful for the future reunion with them and with you. We pray that you would help us to have the right attitude as we go through life, and that we could always be grateful for your blessings. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A little while ago, I read this quote from Lewis Smedes in My God and I, a spiritual memoir. He said, "What I've learned about real gifts is that they always come with a person attached." He'd go on to say, "My gift to someone always comes with an unwritten message. I want to be part of your life. Take my gift, take me. I know that when someone gives me a gift, she too is saying, 'I want to be in your life.' And knowing that she is attached to it makes her gift doubly precious. I do not understand how people can be thankful for a gift if they have no person to thank for giving it to them." We do have blessings to be thankful for. It can be overwhelming, the way it was for Paul, who he was just overwhelmed to the point where he said, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." There's another time he wrote something similar to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 15. There he said, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, the blessings we have aren't just blessings. They come with someone attached to them. The blessings of life come from a God who created us and loves us. The blessing of Christ comes with someone attached. Salvation is not an abstract thing that exists outside of a relationship with God. It exists because there's a Father who loved us who sent His Son. If this morning you need to take advantage of that gift, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to begin living for Him, you can do that. It may be that you need the prayers of this congregation. You might just want to meet and pray with a couple of our elders. If you do, right out this doorway after service, a couple of our elders would love to sit with you and talk with you and pray for you. But it may be there's another way we can help you. Hopefully all of us can leave here reminded of what God has done for us and more determined to live for Him in the future. If there's any way we can help, please come as we stand and as we sing together.